Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. I believe that be all that we read here. I want to try with the Lord's help to lay a little bit of a foundation here. Now, a lot of people remembers when David was king that that the children of Israel was one unit. They was all together at one kingdom, the children of Israel. We begin to think about where the Bible said when Jacob was born in this world and his brother Esau, that the Bible said that in their mother's womb was two nations, which was Jacob and Esau. Now Esau, we know later, become the Edomites, or the nation of Edom. And Jacob, the Bible said, his name was changed to Israel, and they become what we know to be the children of God. Amen. And so we have these two families that separate out differently. But as you have the children of God, we begin to see God bring kings into this time where he could begin to lead their children. And the first king that they had was King Saul. The people wanted a king, Brother Randy. They already had a king. Amen. If you look to God. But they wanted to be like everybody else. You hear me this morning? Most people want what everybody else has in the world. Amen. Yes, they do. But they had a king. And God said, I'm going to give you what you want. And they had a king by the name of Saul. He wasn't on the scene long. And we find that he wasn't doing what God wanted him to do. And so David come on the scene as a young lad. And God had him anointed to be the king of Israel. And when David was king, there was wars and things going on. We know what kind of warrior David was. Even when at the end of Saul's life, the Bible said this, they were singing songs. It said Saul has killed his thousands and David's killed 10,000. And so I don't know if they ever counted, Brother Brandon, how many people David killed, but what they're saying was David was a great warrior. Amen. He was a military man. He had men behind him that the word called David's mighty men. And these was warriors. Amen. God used David to keep the children of Israel together in unity. And then David wanted to build God a house. Amen. You hear what I'm about to tell you this morning? Amen. There ought to be a desire in every child of God to see God's house flourish, to see God's house grow, and to be a part of helping build something that'll make a difference in people's lives. Amen. Yes, we should. The Bible said that David, amen, he turned the reins over to Solomon. One of his sons wanted to take the kingdom, and they was having trouble. Amen, Brother Randy, but God had said Solomon is going to be king. And so David began to gather all the material together, and he told Solomon, he said, God's not going to let me build a house. He said, but you're going to build a house for the Lord. Amen. And in the time of Solomon, God gave Solomon the greatest wisdom ever known to man. He said there was nobody like it before him and nobody after him. He could rule the people well. He gave him riches like nobody had ever seen. All the other kings and queens was jealous of how blessed he was and how the servants loved him and how they looked to him. And all that could because God had blessed Solomon. Amen. How many of you feel God's blessed you this you last year, amen. Boy, he's been good to us, ain't he? Yes, he has. And then that brings us to this point where the Bible said that Solomon was coming down the end of his reign, and the children of Israel divided into what we call the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Amen. Rehoboam was the king over one, and Jeroboam was the king over the other. And as that began to happen, hey, you hear what I'm about to tell you. Satan wants to divide our friendships. Satan wants to divide our country. Satan wants to divide our churches. Amen. And he didn't just start in 2000s. Amen. He's been trying to divide God's people all down through the ages. Amen. He took the children of Israel, which was God's chosen people, and he divided them up. Amen. And they begin to get into things. It sounds a lot like what America's gotten into. They got into idolatry. They got into bribery and wickedness. Leaders was doing things they wasn't supposed to do. The priest was saying that God told him to preach a message. Hey, Brother Thomas, and God had never told him to say that. False prophets was arising out of every corner. Amen. The truth was not being told. The things that was right, people would say was wrong. And the things that was wrong, they would say was right. Amen. One place, it said that the lamp of God there about went out. There's loud things spiritually getting such a bad shape. Amen. That was causing trouble on Abraham. Oh, but God had a little prophet by the name of Hosea that you don't hear much about. I'm not going to try to explain things that I'm still studying to understand, but when God told Hosea to go get a wife, he told him, he said, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, the Lord said unto Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. Some have believed that God wanted Hosea to go marry a prostitute from the very beginning. And others don't believe that she was a prostitute or turned into a harlot or a whore until later in their marriage. According to everything that I read so far, I believe that she was a good woman to start off with. But I believe God was preparing him for what was going to come down the road. I believe personally that the first child that he had was Hosea and Gomer's. But the last two children that they had in their house was because a comrade went and cheated on Hosea and had children by other men. But God, even in all this going on, you hear me this morning, God was going to use this marriage, this broken home, this broken relationship to show Israel that their relationship was broken. Amen. You know what's so amazing about this story? Hear what I'm about to tell you. I was thinking as we were studying this the other night. Amen. It don't matter if it's me getting married, my son, or somebody else. And I'm not portraying this towards Amanda or Nicole or anybody else's wife in here. I don't want that to go across in any way. But I couldn't imagine when I was praying, John, and asking God to send me a wife, if God said, I've got one for you, but I want you to know ahead of time that she's going to cheat on you, but this is the one I got for you, and there's going to be trouble in your home, and there's going to be things you're going to have to face. It would have been hard to really realize that that's who God wanted me to be with. But I want you to see what kind of man Hosea was. You hear me? God showed him who his wife should be, and Hosea trusted God, and he married Gomer. Amen. Yes, he did. Oh, I know we're sitting here this morning. You can hear a pin drop in this in this church. I knew people would be like, oh my goodness. But do you realize that Hosea's not the first person these prophets? God went to Jeremiah and he said, I need you to be a spokesman for me. And Jeremiah said, I'll do it, Lord. He said, but one of the stipulations is going to be you're never going to get to be married. Amen. There was other men that God chose to do things, Brother Darrell, but he let them know up front it wasn't going to be easy. Amen. And then we see people like the Apostle Paul that followed the Lord wholly and did what God wanted him to do, yet on every hand he was persecuted. Amen. It was trouble and hardship. Let me just say something. It ain't going to always be easy, even if we're doing what God wants us to do. We're going to face things. But you know, one of the things I've seen out of this marriage, and I hope God will give me just enough throat to share these two or three things, Brother Randy, that God let me see. God, first of all, Hosea was willing to marry Gomer even though he knew what was going to happen ahead of time. Amen. Now, y'all ready? This ought to flood you with joy. If this don't put a smile on your face, I ain't got nothing else I can say, it will. This morning, God knew you was going to mess up. Amen. From the very beginning, when he seen you, he knew how you was going to live. He knew it was going to be unfaithful. He knew we'd miss church, get out of church, sin, do all kinds of things. Yet he still wanted to marry us because he loved us. Amen. That's one of the first things that I see in Hosea's life. And even though he knew what was going to happen to Gomer, Brother Andy, he still wanted her because it's God's will. God still wanted us because it's his will that none would pass, but that all would come to everlasting life. Boy, it just got all over me. Praise the Lord. So he knew what it was going to be, but he still wanted it. Amen. Secondly, we all like the story about the prodigal son. How when he got up out of the hog pen and made up his mind he wasn't going to live like it no more, he said, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go back to my father's house. Hey, servants, eating better than me and living better than me, I'm just going to tell my daddy I've sinned against you. I ain't no more worthy to be your son. I'm going home. Amen. Listen to me now. And before he could even get home, his daddy was out there looking for him and come to meet him in the middle. Amen. It showed that fatherly love. Amen. How much he loved his son. Amen. How many of you believe the prodigal son's father loved his son? Just say amen. Amen. Do you realize that the book of Hosea is the greatest picture of love outside of Calvary? Let me tell you something that didn't happen in the story of the prodigal son that everybody thinks is so amazing that happened in the book of Hosea. The daddy never got up and pursued the son. He stayed at the house and waited till he wanted to come back. Hosea knew that she was out cheating on him. According to what I read, Brother DB, he knew what was going on. He might have even known who it was going on with. Y'all know, hey, something good could happen. You won't find out in 2021. But if somebody cheats on somebody or somebody robs somebody, everybody in Marietta's going to know it by next Sunday. I believe Hosea knew. Brother Darrell, he'd go down through town, he'd people going, whispering a little bit. That's Hosea, that's God's man. That's Gomer's husband. He's running around on him. I wonder if he knows. I wonder if he knows his wife's pregnant. It's probably not his. You know what Hosea kept doing? He pursued her. He kept going after her.
The Bible said he looked for her and he was searching after her and he wanted her to know he still loved her, even though she had made some mistakes and even though she wasn't doing what he wanted her to do. Brother Randy, there's many men in this world that has experienced this story that I'm telling you, but you hear what I'm about to tell you. There's not many men in this world that their wives have cheated on them, that their husbands are running after them and still pursuing them because they love them. But when we mess up and we're doing wrong and God knows it, he still pursues us. Amen. Don't tell me God don't love you. Run off down somewhere Friday night, we ain't got no business going, and the next thing you know, you feel the Lord saying, you know that ain't right, I still love you. He could just let you do what he wanted you to do. Oh, Lord of mercy. There's a few things, Thomas, when I think about it, like when a refrigerator tears up, and I know we need one, I was okay with buying that. I'd like to have a truck, so I'd be okay to have to pay for it if I get one. I'm not expecting nobody to give me a truck. My children's well worth me buying them, but that sounds silly since they already belong to me that I'd have to buy them back. If somebody said, I'll sell Ryan to you for $1,000, I'd say, well, Lord, he's worth $1,000,000, but I wouldn't give you a penny, he already belongs to me. Wouldn't that be our statement? How many of you would like to spend all your hard-earned money next year, $40,000, $50,000, or $60,000 this year to buy your kids back? And they already belong to you. Boy, this fixing to get quiet, ain't it? We'll be at home and say, I love you, baby. Then we'll run down to work and say, if she says one more thing again, I'm just about ready to get a suitcase. And I'm hitting the road. Y'all hear people at work says that, and they ain't got nothing good to say about their wife or their husband. I'm going to tell you something. Your light's not shining when you do that. God's supposed to be in our life, and he's supposed to be in our marriage. Our marriage is supposed to be a picture of Christ in the church. You hear me? The world needs a good picture of a family that loves one another and stays together. Amen. You know what's so good, Brother Randy? And what's so sad? Y'all hear me real quick. If somebody does cheat on somebody, what's the first thing we usually do? Oh, bless her heart. I feel sorry for them. I can't believe she done that. I wouldn't have never done that. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't. We got so much to say and we look down on them. I'm fixing to shock some of you. In this story I'm preaching, you're the bride. Whether you're a man or a woman. Unless you've been totally faithful to God since the day you got saved, you've been unfaithful. There's about 10 of us in here realizes we've been unfaithful. Let me just say that again. Unless you've lived a perfect life since you got saved, you've been unfaithful. Amen. Yet God still loves his little bride. And not only does he love you, I want you to think about this for just a minute. I've shared this story a lot of times, but it really goes good with this story this morning. How many of you knows for a fact that God took the dusty earth, scooped it up and formed it, breathed a breath of life into Adam, he became a living soul? Just say amen. Amen. One scripture says this, that God remembered that we was but dust. Some of us look pretty good to be made of dirt. I'm not saying, may I look at y'all, some of y'all and I think, boy, I used to think Sister Betty, Brother Donald's wife, even up in her 60s and 70s, and I still feel this way, but I'd see her so classy.
always like wearing the best, wearing them necklaces and jewelry. One day she showed me a picture of when she was in her 20s, and I'm sure, I just know the way life's went. I've seen it now, Sister Vic. I'm sure in y'all's 20s, every one of you ladies would have been looked good enough to pursue after. You hear me? I've seen pictures. It's amazing. I've seen men with these big old stomachs and bald heads and glasses. I'm talking about me and you. Brother Darrell, your hair's thin. You was talking about pictures you seen that day. But when we was young, you seen it. We was a good catch. We was stout. We was young. I had a lot to offer. I thought I did. Every man thinks he does. We think we'd be a good catch. I'm going to tell you something. If somebody loves you enough to come live with you and accepted your proposal, you're blessed.
Amen.
They knew from the start when they said, I do, it's all downhill from there. I've never seen a lady prettier after her wedding day. They look their best. They're in the prettiest dress, that long train. Everybody has come to see the love that's glowing off of this person. The makeup and the veil, and as the veil goes back. And I don't know if this means anything to y'all, but I'm going to tell you something. If you want somebody to treat you like a lady, you got to dress like a lady. You got to talk like a lady. You just can't cuss every other word. And one thing that I like as a man, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, that I really like is when a man walks by me and 5 minutes later, I can still smell her. Good, that perfume, it smells so good. There's been a few times some ladies at my job have walked by me, and their perfume smelled as good, if not better, than my wife's. And I would say, what's that perfume you're wearing? And if they'd tell me what it was, I'd buy it for my wife. Because if I'm going to smell something, I won't be attracted to something. I don't want it to be another woman. I want it to be my wife. But I love that smell. It smells good. Man, it's got some of that lotion. Sometimes we come to church, we'll just be in there talking. They're in there watching a DVD movie, and all of a sudden she pulls out this little bottle and starts doing this, and the whole car smells like you could just pull out some fruit and start eating it. I'm just like, what in the world have y'all opened? Oh, that's my hand lotion. It smells like it needs to be in your mouth, not on your hands. Amen. What I'm trying to say is this. God said in one place that when we sin, we do wrong. We're unfaithful. It's a stink in his nostrils. But when we're doing right and we're loving God, I believe when Welcome Grove or anybody passes by and we're trying to pray and we're trying to live right, we're trying to do right, I believe it's like a beautiful woman passing by God and he smells that sweet fragrance. I do. I believe it makes him proud to say, that's my bride that's looking good today, that smells good, that's catching my eye. That's, you know, the Bible said in one place, begin to talk about her. I believe it was over in the book of Songs of Solomon. He described her, if you look back in history, it's not just word for word in scripture, but when you begin to study it, he said, you're just like a horse in a king's carom. But I studied one time about this brother Randy, and he said, you're like that white stag. And so I looked it up, and I was just like, what's so special about the white stag? And they said when a king would come to town and they wanted everybody to know that he was a-coming. Boy, this is going to make a lot of pre-millennials mad. The king wasn't riding a white horse, but the white horse usually comes way before the carom and before the king. Just leave that in there, throwing that in there for a little bit of thought. But when I got to studying about that, the king, he said, you're like that white stag. And one of the commentators put it like this. He said, there's a bunch of horses in my carom. He said, but you're way out in front of everybody else. You stand out. You're pure. You're white. And no other horse gets my attention. Praise God. There's no woman gets my attention more than Miss Clark. Amen. If you're married, that's the way you ought to feel. You know what the lady said about Solomon in the book of Songs? Solomon says, she said, you're the apple of my eye. Yeah.
How many of you seen that new movie, Overcomer? Just say amen if you've seen it. It's a week of you. Raise your hand if you've seen the movie Overcomer. If you haven't seen it, you need to go see it. This woman, at one point in the movie, her husband's going through a tough time. He thinks he's going to have a championship basketball team this year, and something happens, and it ain't going to happen now. So they ask him to take over the track team, and he's only got one person on his team, and it's this little girl's got asthma. He's thinking everything's going wrong. And he goes out in the yard to pick up some bricks, Brother Darren, and he's throwing them over, and his wife comes out there and says, "Them bricks have been laying there 3 months. Do you really got to pick them bricks up today? Is it that important?" He said, "Why? You got something you want me to do?" She said, "Actually, I do, if you can come in here and help me, friend." And they got it bickering at one another for just a minute. She went in the house. She started crying. He took one of the bricks and slammed it down on the ground. Y'all ain't never done that, have you? Got mad at one another. But a few minutes later, she comes back outside, and she gets one of them little mechanic chairs. She slides over close to her husband. Slides over a little closer. Slides over a little closer. Next thing you know, she slides right up there. She's sitting right between his legs almost, and she starts looking at him. She said, "Sometimes, because I love my husband so much, and I feel like I want to help him, I open my big mouth, and my husband gets mad at me." And she said, "I want to do it because I love him." And she said, "I forget to tell my husband how good of a man he is." Tears started running down my face. She wasn't even talking to me. "And how good of a daddy he is, and that he provides for us, and I don't tell him that all the time." She said, "But I want you to know I love you, and I recognize you're having a hard time." And I don't really know what all the words was at the end. Pretty much, I don't even know if she said, but I know God's going to take care of it. But she was trying to be encouraging him, and she was encouraging me. You ready, wives? I'm going to give you a little bit of advice. If you got a good man and he really is, does what God wants him to do, get a little chair and slide up every once in a while and tell him and be his helpmate. He's going to have some tough days. And you're going to have some tough days, and he's going to have to help you, and you're going to have to help him. And I'm glad that when I have a tough day as the bride of God, y'all ready? Yeah. The husband of all husbands scoots up to me. Brother Down wrapped his loving arms around me and said, "I still love you. Amen. You're mine and I'm yours. You're my bride, praise God. You hear me this morning? God loves you, amen." He loved you so much he let his only son not just die. A lot of times we'll say, he let his son die for us. No, it was more than that. He was humiliated for us. His body was destroyed because of us. You've never even seen anybody in any wreck that's been mangled up that looked any worse than our Savior. When I think about a wreck, that's usually what they call an accident. You ready? Calvary was no accident. When Jesus left heaven, a lot of people says he already knew the path he was going to trod. He did, but it goes back way further than that. The Bible said before the foundations of the world, Brother Andy, that he was slain. You know what that means? You ready? I'm about done, I promise you. That before God ever formed the first man, he knew what it was going to cost him. If he made a man and then that man messed up, he knew he was going to have to come down in the form of a man and go and be crucified for the sins of the world. And yet he loved us enough, he still done it. Amen. I'm here to tell you today, nobody loves you more than God. You just don't know my mother. No, you just don't know God. Yes, don't know how much my grandmother loves her grandchildren. No, you just don't know God. When you really experience the love of God and how much he loves you, you're going to find. The Bible said this. Y'all come get a verse of song, Brother John. The Bible said this in one place, and it baffles a lot of people.
He said that if we was going to be his disciple, we had to hate our father and our mother and our brother and our sister. How many people in here this morning would say, that verse really confuses me. I'm supposed to hate my mother. I'm supposed to hate my father. Hate my brother and my sister if I'm going to follow after the Lord wholly with all my heart. I thought we're supposed to love everybody. Thought we're supposed to love our enemies and pray for those that spitefully use. And yet God's asking me to hate the very inner, closest people in my life that I love. And one time I looked that up and I started studying, Brother Randy, because sometimes when you run across something like that, Brother Thomas, you're bringing out words and showing people how they mean different things. But when I see a whole verse like that, it just throws me for a loop like somebody hit me with a boat paddle and knocks me in the water, and I'm confused totally, drowned and thinking, that just don't make sense. Sometimes I go study it, and I get so confused, I back away and I say, Lord, I just ain't ready for that evidently or something, or you'd show me. But then, Brother Darrell, sometimes the Lord begins, I just feel him just give me a little bit and feed me, Sister Nancy. And one day, the Lord just gave me the understanding of this verse. And it means something along these lines, that we should love God so much that the love for your mother and your father and your brother and sister should be so far away from how much that you love God for what he's done for you, that in most people's eyes it would be considered hate compared to the love that you have for God. I ain't met many Christians that I felt like loved God that much. But we're talking about the book of Hosea this morning. I would like to end on this. We're the bride, so we're the one that's not doing the loving and the faithfulness all the time. But God has made me feel like he loved me more than anybody else in the world. Even at my lowest point, even when I opened my mouth of clay and said stupid things, things that if I could take back, I'd take back. Even to the point that when I was a young Christian, there's a few times that I questioned God. But right outside, I just don't understand, God. All these molesters, all these murders, all these people's done all this wickedness. And you'd take a young man that had two kids. My daddy, and I ain't getting annoyed. Why don't you do that, God? Why would you do that? And for years, I felt guilty because I even asked God why. And then some preacher come along in my 20s or 30s. I can't remember who it was, but thank God for him. And he said, it's okay to ask God why. His son asked him on the cross. He said, why hast thou forsaken me? And I thought, thank you, God, that even in my foolishness of knowing that you know all things, that there's nobody higher than you, nobody knows more than you, and I get so stupid sometimes to think that I'm questioning you. Brother Randy, he don't get upset with me. Sometimes I'm going to go ahead and tell on me. Amanda ain't here this morning, so there ain't no need telling no story about her this morning. Chloe's sick. I'm going to tell one on me, and then I'll be done. Sometimes I'll be trying to explain something to Amanda or Ryan or Naomi or Sean or Shane, and this is one of my weaknesses. And then they'll begin to question me. Well, why we got to do that? Why can't I wait till why can't I do it in the morning? That aggravates me. It just crawls underneath me like ants. It's done got up in my pants legs and just sets me on fire because I'm sitting there thinking, if I'd have wanted it done in the morning, I would have told you to do it in the morning. There'd been a few times before Ryan and Naomi got on up in age that I'd try to help them with something and they'd question me on it. I asked Sean the other day, I said, you've been studying learners less. He told me for 3 months, get him a book. Ain't that like us? God, help me do this. And I got him a book and he ain't read it yet. Ain't studied. That's like us a lot of times. We want God to do things for us because we think we're going to do something, but then God does his part and we don't do our part.
I felt like even though this story, in some ways, when you think about a woman cheating on her husband and the sadness for all the things that went on in this story, I was coming today with a message that in our lowest times, Brother DB, when we make mistakes, when we open our mouth foolishly, God still pursues us. God still loves us more than anybody else. And I want you to know in 2020 this year, if you feel like nobody loves you, if you feel like your life is going down, you ain't got no reason to live, if you feel like everything is wrong, I want you to know there's a God of the universe that loves you. Amen. I want you to rise to our feet this morning.